Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a brutal loss for the Tennessee Titans to begin the season. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, how you doing this morning? Thanks for joining us.
I'm just reveling in the Super Bowl bound Chicago Bears first of 17 victories.
What a win. Mm-hmm. What a win it was. What a pretty day it was at Soldier Field out there yesterday as well.
It was glorious.
Yeah, just great weather. Well, Corey, what did you make of this performance of the Titans? I said this earlier in the show. I try not to overreact to week one. I also recognize that not all week ones are created equal, and the Titans totally gave one away to a not very good New York Football Giants team yesterday. What did you make of what we saw yesterday in game one from the Titans?
Well, I mean, you're right. It's week one. And, you know, look, last year they looked completely unprepared when they played the Cardinals. Because if you think this week one was bad, last year was way worse. I mean, they got boat raced last year by the Arizona Cardinals. And so this week was just very incomplete. You know, they defensively, the first half they were lights out, and then they just failed to come out of the locker room. I think, you know, the most shocking thing for me is giving up 200 yards rushing. I know I gave Joe a hard time because he didn't think they'd give up a 100-yard rusher all year, and you know they doubled that, you know, 200 yards, and you know, but that when it gets leaky and you don't get it fixed, what does Coach Vrabel always say? Set to the edge, build a wall, swarm to the ball.
Yeah,
that wasn't happening. There was no edge wall swarm and the second half. And so that's the most shocking, and I know it'll sound silly to say, but probably the most corruptible. And so that's one aspect of it. But the other thing for me is, you know, offensively, you know, we had glimpses of it in the first half. You know, even, you know, they were up 13-0 and it looked easy, but it should have been more. But they did not finish drives either because of mistakes or strange decision making in it. But the other thing I did, and look, this goes into questioning coaches and coaches' decision, and they have a plan and a plan for success. But when I see the distribution of footballs, it doesn't make sense to me that there are more targets for Jeff Swaim than there are for Robert Woods and Austin Hooper. I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, well, you also – no, I'm – that's very interesting. That's what I was going to say is you should give me crap for my Woods and Hooper as leading receivers, one with catches, one with yards after this first game. That's a beaut.
When you say things that make sense, you don't have to give somebody a hard time about it.
Well, what do you think about that? Because I just thought, Corey, watching that game, that Wink Martindale did what he does as a D coordinator.
Yeah,
and he was absolutely fine letting his guys be out there in, you know, some tough spots. Say, hey, we can cover those guys, and I just didn't see a lot of space for Titans receivers out there most of the day.
Well, then they've got to work on finding a way to create space, whether it be schematically or in the way they run routes. But they had at least three times where it was third and five or shorter where they were unable to convert. You know, one of them was a dropped, it was more than that, gosh. There was the dropped third down snap from Derrick Henry in the Wildcat. There was the third and one tight end sweep where Taylor Lewan didn't block anybody. And then there was the, remember the third and two where Tannehill just like rifled it at the feet of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina?
Yeah. Yeah, he was very not open. But yes.
No, he's not open, but he also could have run for the first down. I mean, like the whole left side of the field was open to just, I mean, he needed like 2 or 3 yards. And so there was a lot of decision making in distribution that didn't make a ton of sense. But again, I at least go back to week one and, you know, the weirdness of week one and figuring stuff out because they don't play in the preseason. And, you know, again, is this cause to play more in the preseason? I don't know. I'm sure they're going to say no. I'm sure they're going to say that had nothing to do with it. But there was just, you know, there's a sloppiness to it because it's your first time going full speed. I mean, that's just, you know, you could say making excuses, whatever. The Giants had the same thing. You're right. And the Giants looked terrible in the first half. And then they came out in the second half and made some plays.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Corey, what did you think of Derrick Henry and how he looked yesterday? Obviously, the box score, 21 carries, 82 yards, 3.9 a carry. But overall, how did you think he looked yesterday?
It's kind of how I thought it looked. You know, he looks large, you know, without question. He found a few seams on a few holes. And so I hesitate to say he did not look explosive, you know, because he ripped through him for 18 yards. But I still need to see him get that play and accelerate through to make it happen. He looked like early season Derrick Henry to me, because I think Derrick, you know, historically, you know, this is kind of the way it starts. And, you know, and as the weeks go on, he gets better and better and better. So I would say it looked about like I expected. You know, the first half, they came out and I think they threw 18 passes and had 12 runs. And so I was very interested with that, to see that change in the dynamic, and that they, you know, were more pass-driven, because I think they need to be more pass-driven, but they've got to take advantage of some opportunities. They also had drops yesterday, guys. You know, they also had drops that could have move the chains as well.
Well, you mentioned, yeah, the be more pass driven. I want to make sure I give proper credit to this. Tom Gower came up with this stat. So 18 of 25 first downs runs Derrick Henry. Two of the seven passes were when they were behind the sticks, first and 18, first and 20. So that would be 18 of 23 if it was first and 15 or less that they ran it to Derrick Henry. Take that in tandem with, you know, the much discussed, you know, I think the tight end. Of course, I'm gonna, in a one question, complain about giving it too much to Derrick Henry, and then complain about not giving it to Derrick Henry on the third and one. But predictability, just overall performance by Todd Downing. What do you think of him after 1 week, and just where he is right now, early in his second season as the OC of this team?
Well, I mean, look, he came in with a lot of questions, you know, from fans, I should say. There's certainly no doubt about that. And again, what I get back to is distribution of the football. How much of that is on Todd Downing? How much of that is on Ryan Tannehill? I don't know. And I think, what did Kyle Phillips have, 9 targets?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you could see fourth quarter, that's who Tannehill's looking for. I mean, so if you're looking for your fifth round pick, and we all like Kyle Phillips, but if you're just laser locked on your fifth round pick, and you're spending $6 million on Austin Hooper, and you traded for Robert Woods, and you drafted Treylon Burks in the first round, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is here for the third year, you know, I don't know what it says about your game plan or what Tannehill thinks of those other guys. I don't know. I mean, we saw them get the ball to Treylon Burks early, and I just think, you know, I think when it kind of went sideways, they just, I don't know, I hesitate to say they didn't know what to do, but they didn't have a lot of consistency, and it's hard to get things rolling when you don't have a lot of consistency.
Corey, last thing for you, especially given the way the Colts game played out yesterday with a tie, which is just, I watched a lot of that game. Yes, I mean, they look brutal in that game. How big of a missed opportunity is this for the Titans? Look, I know, and we talked about this earlier. As the week goes on, we're going to get a lot of calls that say, well, hey, this is just what the Titans do. They lose to teams they have no business losing to, and then they'll go on the road and meet the Bills.
This is the NFL. I mean, this is the NFL, guys. I mean, teams win games they should win. Who had Pittsburgh going in and winning and beating the Bungles yesterday? Anybody?
Not many.
No. No, not many. And so, I mean, that's this league, that all the games are largely close. Bad teams do come up and knock off good teams. I mean, we can go down all the scores yesterday. How many people had the Bears knocking off the 49ers yesterday?
Not many.
Not many. Okay? This is the NFL, especially in week one. So you can't overreact. Look, you can be disappointed. And you can really say, hey, 0-1, you lost to the Giants, and now you got to go to Buffalo. You really needed to get that one. You can fairly say that. But we said that last year, and we said that the year before, and we said that the year before that, and we said that the year before that. That's what happens. That's what happens. Now, you gotta come back and you gotta get one. And I'm not gonna say it's gonna happen this week, but you can't get in too big of a hole, because we've seen what happened. I mean, the year, was it 2008 when they came off of? And they went 0-6. They let one get away against the Jets, and then they let another one get away. All of a sudden, they were staring 0-6 in the eyes, and it was just an absolute disaster. And so you can't let it get there. But in the past, this team hasn't let it get there. I mean, like, yesterday's horribly, horribly, horribly disappointing. But it's 1 of 16. Just like last year, it was 1 of 17. Like, last year was 1 of 17. They went 8-1 over the next 9 last year, okay? I'm not saying they're going to go 8-1 this year. The schedule is incredibly difficult. But realistically, it probably takes about 10 wins to get to the playoffs. You still got to go 10-6 the next 16 weeks.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
That Green Bay receiving core was just as impressive as I expected it to be.
Looked great.
That's money well spent.
Turns out, reveling in the NFC North developments.
Turns out they may have some problems there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? The Lions were what we thought they were. They put 35 points on the board.
Yeah, they did.
Very exciting.
Yes,
very exciting in the Motor City.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Corey.
Bye.
Corey Curtis, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. Open up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have more of our reaction to a very disappointing day over at Nissan Stadium yesterday. Next, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Mike, this is a group that's known for their stoutness on defense in the run game. What do you think led to having such a bad day stopping the run?
Good player, poor defense, poor gap integrity, you know, and just a couple times it was edge, sometimes it's inside, tackling. You know, we'll have to really reevaluate, you know, what we're doing and, you know, give them credit. You know, they were able to run the football, which was, you know, the number one key for us on defense.
That was Mike Vrabel after a very disappointing loss yesterday for the Titans. 21-20, they fall at the hands of the New York Giants. Titans 0-1 to begin the season. They'll go on the road to take on the Buffalo Bills next week on Monday Night Football. Joe, I said this to begin the show. I do my best not to overreact to week one. There are many things that happened this week around the league that I think will change as the season goes on. I mean, Corey brought up the Bengals in the last segment. Joe Burrow turned the ball over 5 times, and they still should have won the game. Got the extra point block to begin to finish things off.
Unbelievable.
There. So, you know, I think the Bengals will be fine moving forward. So there are a lot of things that happened in week one that you just say, okay, we'll see how that plays out as the rest of the season goes. I also don't think that every game is created equal, and the Titans had no business losing to the New York Giants at home. I'm sorry. I mean, you're up 13-0. At halftime, you got them right where you want them. I agree. And, you know, I don't know if I thought too much about it at the time, considering who the opponent was. But in retrospect, you let some drives get away from you in the first half where maybe you could have added some more points in the bank there that served you well at the end of the game. But it's a brutal loss yesterday for the Titans. I don't really know what else to say other than that. Like, it's a bad loss. And at some point, this losing to teams that you have no business losing to has got to stop for the Titans. I know that they overcame it last year, and they won some games that nobody gave them much of a chance to win. I understand all that. But at some point, like, you got to quit dropping games to the Jets and the Texans and the Giants. And that is a brutal way to begin the season yesterday for the Titans. Like, Corey's talking about the Arizona game last year, it being worse. And I agree, like, in terms of execution, it was clearly worse. I'm not sure it's that much worse, though, when you consider quality of opponent. This is the Giants. Arizona won 11 games last year.
Right. A lot of there maybe weren't a ton of people picking them to be a playoff team, but they weren't expected to be terrible. The Giants have been terrible. The Giants have been, now, granted, teams change. This is a new coach. The New York Post, did you see the New York Post?
No, I did.
Page headline, Day Balls of Steel. for the going for two for the win there, the New York Post. Hey, maybe this is a when the Giants turn around. But bottom line is they've been 22-59. They've had four coaches the last 5 years. And again, they're missing their first-round pick from last year, who's a very good pass rusher, and the first-round pick from this year, who is supposed to be a very good pass rusher, and they're both going to be a huge part of their defense, and they're both off the field. And you still score 7 points in the last 37 minutes of this game, go 3-for-11 on third down, and just look extremely pedestrian offensively.
They did. And defensively, as Vrabel talked about in the clip there, you gave up 238 yards on the ground. 164 to Saquon Barkley. Obviously, he had the big 68-yard run, which I think really changed the tenor of the game in the second half. And you know, as well as things went defensively in the first half, I mean, look, we were talking about Harold Landry and how would Rashad Weaver come in and do for him. I mean, he had two sacks in the game yesterday. But how big of a loss was Harold Landry in the run game? I don't know. I mean, it just like it was everybody in the second half in the run game. We've talked about Cunningham. The Giants just gashed them. And that to me is concerning for a team that is supposedly really good and built to stop the run. 238 yards on the ground against you when you know that's how the Giants are going to hurt you if they're going to hurt you at all is not good. And that did I don't know what happened in the second half to the Titans yesterday defensively against the run, but that's pretty concerning moving forward. They got to fix that.
And I agree with Corey of the things that are correctable. Yeah, you would think that that would not continue. That's so the Titans defense, though, is – I mean, the Titans in general last few years. 2 years ago, horrific defense, great offense. Last year, the defense totally turns around. Are they just going to go every other year now?
I don't know.
I mean, the defense looked – tremendous early. The pass rush, I thought Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
What was the line? Michelle sent us the stat yesterday. Dupree's, I love some of these advanced stats. You know, Dupree's his, get off at the line.
Yeah, his get off at the line to cross the line of scrimmage. In 2020, it was 0.72. Last year was 0.87. Yesterday, 0.68.
I mean, it matches up with the view. He looked really fast. Off the line there. Actually, Dupree should have had another half sack.
By the way, that came from Seth Walter.
Thank you. And they were all over Daniel Jones, and you know they weren't really getting anything going at all. And then that big run from Barkley like broke them. But I do think Vrabel used the word flat, and I do think there was some of that. One, you had a chance to run away in this game in the first half, and two, I think. There was maybe a little bit of, 13-0. This team is not very good. Maybe relaxing or whatever. Whatever it is, you're just not completely on edge, fully intense like you need to be, and they hit you with a couple big plays, and all of a sudden you're in a totally different game.
Well, my question is, the skill guys offensively, where were they? Robert Woods, one catch, 13 yards, two targets. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, one catch, 13 yards, two targets. Austin Hooper, one catch, 6 yards, two targets. So you're talking about a combined 6 targets between those three guys for 3 catches for 33 yards.
And
excuse me, 37 yards.
If you go through all those, you know, Westbrook-Ikhine, honestly, I got to look at the snap counts, but he wasn't on the field. I mean, you know, there was a lot of situations he was off the field. Woods, someone on the text line said Woods was wide open for a touchdown and Tannehill missed him. I missed that, if that's true. I don't remember that play, but I just didn't see a lot from him. Hooper, like, I mean, I know there was a couple times where Tannehill went elsewhere where Hooper, you could tell he was kind of disappointed, you know? He kind of looked around like, man. But I just didn't see much of anything from him in terms of just being involved. And that's shocking to me after camp. After watching him work, and I'm sure in some weeks, you know, you play teams that zone you more or whatever. Like, but then again, if you're playing the Titans right now and you're a defensive coordinator, right now I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what? Let's go ahead and get aggressive with these guys at the line and make them beat us because I don't think they can. I bet you a lot of D coordinators are saying that. Something very different than they said when number 11 played for this team.
Well, we'll get to him here in a minute, but it's – if you would have told me heading into the game yesterday that these three things in the passing game would take place, Treylon Burks, 3 catches, 55 yards. Kyle Phillips, 6 catches, 66 yards. And, oh, by the way, Dontrell Hilliard's going to have 3 catches for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. I said, well, my goodness, the Titans are going to win this game by 35 points. And then you look down at the rest of the lineup with some of their veteran guys, and it's nothing. I mean, look, no disrespect to Jeff Swaim. Jeff Swaim should never be your leading tight end receptions. I'm sorry, he shouldn't. 3 catches, 19 yards. He got targeted 4 times. Jeff Swaim should never be targeted in a game more than Austin Hooper. Never.
Hey.
And yet here we are.
He made the plays. And Logan on the text line says, yeah, he had the most snaps of any skill player. That should be a felony. Again, Swaim is there. You know, he's going to be out there a lot, right? I mean, he's going to be on the field. He should have the snaps. But, yeah, you would think that Hooper would have more. I promise you, Hooper is a more talented, you know, receiver and a better option in the passing game than Swaim. You would not know that from 1 week. And, yeah, I'm with you. And I think that if you want to get sunshiny today, which is hard to do, but if you want to get sunshiny, Phillips is a problem for people. And Burks looked fast. I thought Burks looked good. Like, keep trying to get him the ball and keep trying to grow his role, and maybe you can be a little more explosive and dangerous offensively.
By the way,
it was stunning that those veterans did so little.
We hadn't got to this yet. What did you think of the no-call on the Burks pass interference, getting tackled, tripped, whatever, in midfield?
Yeah, I think it was probably P.I. When you watch the replay, it's slow-mo, so it's not like the ref could tell this, but it looked like maybe he started to trip a little bit right before the contact came, but I still thought there was contact early.
I mean, there was definitely contact early.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I couldn't believe a flag didn't get thrown on that play.
Jerome Boger's crew is not very good. News flash.
Yeah. May not be very good at their job. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What do we make of the Titans' day offensively yesterday, and how much of it falls at the feet of Todd Downing? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing a brutal loss for the Titans to begin the season. Welcome your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So offensively yesterday, we talked about it. Not much of anything from Robert Woods or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Austin Hooper. Kyle Phillips, the leading receiver at 6 catches for 66 yards. What about the running game? What did you think of Derrick Henry yesterday? 21 carries, 82 yards, 3.9 a carry. I said this on Twitter last night, and a lot of people agree. A lot of people are very mad at me right now. I thought Henry looked pretty average yesterday, by his standards especially. I thought he looked average. Now, is that some indictment on him moving forward? I don't think so. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Derrick Henry. But I just thought it was an okay day for Derrick Henry yesterday. And quite frankly, this offense, the way it's constructed right now, I don't think this offense is good enough to survive too many okay days from Derrick Henry this year. What did you think of number 22?
Well, I'll answer this first of all with an interesting text from Andrew, who says we will never be great as long as we have Henry. Turns the coaches into idiots that can't get away from when he isn't working. Happened to Arthur in the playoffs against the Ravens. Happens to Downing way too much. I'm over run. Well, look, if before now, I'm going to disagree with you, Andrew. I don't think having Derrick Henry means you have to be predictable. That's my thing. The predictability can still, you're not confined to being predictable because you run Derrick Henry a lot. I will say, though, that if Derrick Henry is what he looked like yesterday, then that's going to be a real problem. I mean, they're going to have to go away from it some. And it's just, I mean, they're not built to survive Derrick Henry being good. He has to be great. A good Derrick Henry as a good back means the Titans as a 7-10 team, okay? So I got to say, that's one of the things from yesterday. I'm really hesitant to feel strongly about, but I agree with you. I thought he looked a little bit slower, and I thought he looked a little bit less explosive in terms of you expect him to kind of break the one tackle. And there, the one guy was getting him a few times. It wasn't like three, four guys every time. Sometimes it was that. There were just a few players where you just expect him to get through that thing, and he doesn't. There was a one time he got just drilled, yep, too, which was a good play, you know, by the defender whose name I forget. But, yeah, it wasn't. I will say this, though. I thought he started to get that moment. And we've seen Derrick Henry slow. You know, 17 carries, 58 yards, and then boom, there's a 10-yarder. Boom, there's a 15-yarder. It was starting to happen, and you had two holding calls on Aaron Brewer, one of which I thought was legit, one of which I thought was very ticky-tack. Regardless, that did start to look a little bit more like late-game Derrick Henry, and then, you know, it never really came back. I'm withholding judgment. For example, the next game, they have zero chance if he doesn't have like a 150-yard game or just a big.
He's got to have big.
Big game. Is he capable of that? I thought he looked good in the preseason, but it's hard to tell. You know, he's doing a little bit of team stuff early in camp. Then mostly he's just kind of running around. He looked as big and strong as in shape and fast. And I thought, man, this guy's primed for a big year. I'm not willing to. I don't think yesterday should be taken as this evidence that it's just going backward now on him, but it wasn't encouraging. And he's got to be more explosive than that.
Well, he's got to be more explosive than that. And as the year goes on, you know, can there be anything in the passing game that makes you think twice about it if you're a defender? I mean, look, right now, what they got out of Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine yesterday, if they're going to get a lot of snaps, it's just not acceptable. Like, they got to get open, and you got to be able to get the ball to them. You know, Treylon Burks, I thought, looked okay yesterday. Looked pretty good. So maybe you've got something there, but the passing game was concerning to me yesterday, and I thought Tannehill looked pretty good. Like, I thought he looked good. I'm not going to say he looked great, but he looked good. 20 of 33, 266, two touchdowns, no picks. Didn't turn the ball over. I mean, that's what I'm looking for from Tannehill this year. Don't turn the ball over. But just there's a lot of questions in the passing game moving forward. And you brought this up earlier with Corey, and this comes from Tom Gower from Football Outsiders. This was a tweet he put out there. Until the last drive, the Titans gave the ball to Derrick Henry on 18 of 25 first downs. Two of the seven passes were on first and 18 and first and 20. So 78% of Henry run rate on first and 15 or less. That's an incredibly high number. And that goes back to the Todd Downing conversation. I don't think he's very good yesterday. And everybody's going to talk about the two third and one calls. And we've talked about those a lot so far in the show today. But that stat there, that Tom Gower from Football Outsiders threw out there, a 78% run rate on first down with Derrick Henry in first and 15 or less, is not good. You got to be more unpredictable than that.
Yeah. Dang it. First mute. Titans made me mute. No, I agree. On Twitter, at DougieB27 says, Vrabel botching in-game decisions getting old. Most no regressions coming because the Titans' record in one-score games is unsustainable. Titans would rather run and keep it close and come out throwing and put the game away against a horrible pass D. It's ridiculous. So I kind of agree, and I agree with what you said on predictability. I'm also still – I mean, I think you have to be unpredictable. I also don't know that this was just that. I think they also tried to throw at times, and they didn't have much going on. And I think that's concerning. So let's, again, talk about last year and this year. Last year, the Titans get just blown out by a good Cardinals team, but just blown out. Terrible performance. They go – that team ends up – a really good team ends up the one seed. So it did lie, right? However – what that game did show was that the Titans were going to struggle protecting the passer, which they did. I mean, that was the biggest issue for that game, and that was the biggest thing that regressed last year for the team. So it's not like everything is just throw it out, means nothing. There's no information here of value. So what of yesterday is more likely to persist as a problem? I'll say one thing I don't think will, and if I'm wrong, they're screwed. I don't think, like, the rush defense is going to continue to be a problem on a regular basis.
I don't think so either.
But I think the thing that most worries me is that I'll go back to draft day when they traded A.J. Brown. Haven't changed a bit on that. Like, you don't let go of special players who make huge plays and can win games single-handedly, and also, by the way, can scare a defense from doing what they did to you yesterday in the second half.
By the way, A.J. Brown yesterday in Philadelphia, 10 catches, 155 yards on 13 targets.
Yeah, he looked he looked great. So, and it is the Lions, so got to keep that in mind.
It was the Lions.
The Lions are very bad, as some people knew they would be. But he's special. He's a special player. They don't have it anymore. So that's the thing that carries over is, and it's a combination of the receivers, you know, Woods, Hooper, these guys, they got to get them going. But it is Downing too. It's Downing and it's scheming things up. They schemed up some plays. They got a Hollister play yesterday. They did. I know, Rip and Swain, but I like the little tight end screen actually to him. Little throwback to him. They got Hilliard loose. He only played 12 snaps, had 2 touchdowns, a couple big plays. So, like, they schemed up some stuff, but when it came down to you got to throw the ball and you got to make plays, too many times there was nothing there. One time, which we'll be talking about way more today, Tannehill threw a perfect pass to Kyle Phillips to set up the winning field goal that was missed, which would totally change the discussion today, and we should acknowledge that.
It would. I mean, we've talked about all the problems leading up to the comeback by the Giants in the second half, and they're problems, believe me. But you're Randy Bullock at the end of the day, you still had a 47-yard kick that you need your NFL kicker to be able to make. Like, you got to make that kick to win the game, and he couldn't do it. And now the Titans are sitting here 0-1, and you've got the Buffalo Bills staring you in the face. And I said this to Corey, and I'll repeat it now. Like, I know at least some of what we're going to hear as we move forward this week and the Buffalo game gets closer as well. All right, we're moving on from the Giants game. This is the Vrabel special. They lost to the Giants. They're going to go out there and they're going to go beat the Bills, and maybe they will. We'll see what happens on Monday night. But, like, at some point, you got to stop with losing games you're not supposed to lose because you're not always going to win the games that people don't give you a chance to win. And if you do that right now, like, 0-2 is a very real possibility for the Titans heading into this week. And they're 9.5-point dogs.
On paper, with Ojulari and Thibodeau not on the field yesterday, I think you can make the case that this was, on paper, the easiest game on the schedule. And I'm saying that also after watching your guy Davis Mills
slinging the thing around,
Pierce, man. And Cooks. I mean, their D was getting after it. I don't know. The Colts may be bad, too. Jaguars, I know that they blew that game, but Lawrence, for the most part, looked better. Like, I mean, you know, Houston here, Jags here, that's in the discussion, too. Go through the rest of the schedule. Gimmies are not there.
No.
This was as close to a gimme as you're going to get, and you didn't get it. Now, if they go win at Buffalo, then put me down for, like, a split with the Jags and Texans and, like, wins over the Chargers and Chiefs.
The Packers,
and
Bill.
The Packers. Yeah. I mean, if they do this next one, then fine. That's just what they do.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in AG. AG, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
How y'all doing? I was watching the game with a couple of friends of mine, and towards the end of the game when they called timeout and took Tannehill out, it's like the whole life out of everybody was like, what is going on when they run the field goal unit in? And I just wanted to ask, from my perspective, it looked like Tannehill was real frustrated when they took him out the game. How he was looking at Vrabel, he was like, I'm rolling. Why is he taking me out the game? And Phillips was toasting defenders out there, and it seemed like the tight ends was trying to wake up. I just don't understand why we just didn't keep on rolling trying to score a touchdown. You know, we had a little bit more time left on the clock, and I just want to see if y'all – you know, the look on Tannehill's face, was it just me or y'all feel the same way?
Hey, thanks for the call, AG. I mean, that's a critical part of the game. And, Joe, that goes back to what we talked about earlier. Having to burn that that timeout at that time is crucial, and it killed you at the end.
Yeah, the way Vrabel described it, like, yeah, the situation went well. But to me, you quickly line up. You try to get six. You can go anywhere on the field. Get 6 more yards. Get 8 more yards. Take a quick hitter. Then you pop the timeout. Or, you know, you can let it go down a little bit to wherever you want it. Then you pop your timeout. I understand they got it to the right hash, but, yeah, 47 is not a chip shot. And you had a chance to make it an easier kick for – it was a weird situation.
It was very weird. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to next. Also, pretty gigantic opportunity gone by the wayside yesterday for the Titans as well. I'll tell you what I mean by that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your reaction on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com to the Titans and their loss to the Giants yesterday. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A lot of thoughts about the Titans offense on the text line to get to. A lot of criticism for Todd Downing today as well. Joe, I said this earlier. I think this is a really important stretch for Todd Downing coming up. I mean, the Tim Kelly hiring as passing game coordinator was not just like some random hiring to me. I think this has always been a big year for Todd Downing to show some improvement heading into this year. I didn't see a ton of it yesterday. It's going to have to get better offensively. And quite frankly, something that may now be out of Todd Downing's control, I do look at their pass catchers and wonder – how much can you really draw up? Like, how much of it comes down to them just doing a better job of winning one-on-one matchups? You can scheme people open, and they're going to have to do a better job of that as they move forward. But some of it boils down to, do you have the playmakers or do you not? And it was not a great start for the Titans in that area yesterday, although I was impressed, once again, by the two rookies at wide receiver.
Yeah, if you want to talk about scheming up plays, they did. They got Hollister loose.
They did.
The 22-yarder. Hilliard had the two big touchdown catches. He's 3 for 61. That was, you have to credit scheme, and probably good and bad on the other side. I don't know what the Giants were doing, but Burks, I agree. Burks looked good. Phillips did drop one, did muff the punt.
He did.
Did overall have a very encouraging day. He's going to be a playmaker.
He also had a great punt return to begin the game. It was the best Titans punt return I've seen in a long time.
Yes, 46-yarder. And he's got to realize at times that you don't catch the ball at the three if it's soaring into the end zone. But overall, an encouraging day, but it's just there wasn't much. I mean, someone on Twitter is like, what are you talking about? They had plenty of big plays yesterday. Like, where? I mean, you did have a 27-yarder to Burks. You had the 22-yarder I just mentioned to Hollister. You had the play that should have won the game. The 21-yarder to Phillips, but I mean, there was nothing downfield at all that threatened the Giants. I don't think. I mean, what's the farthest Tannehill threw a pass yesterday? Probably the
Burks
play. Last one.
Well, the last
maybe
one,
the Burks play. But yeah, probably the last one, right? Because that was basically on a spot, and then he went right out of bounds. So 20 yards. And again. Talked about this during camp. Camp can lie, too. And by the way, there's just too much stuff on the text line about the preseason game participation. I don't care. If the Titans were on an island there and everybody else out there is playing other starters all the time, then okay. They were by far the better team in the first half of this game.
But also, it wasn't rushed yesterday. They were up 13-0 at halftime, looked great on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, but I think that that's – I understand people looking at that. I don't think that that's a thing. But I will say that camp showed us a lot of things, including Woods making a lot of plays, Westbrook Ikhine making a lot of plays, Austin Hooper making a lot of plays, and also the Titans going downfield a lot. And we saw none of that yesterday.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Doug from Columbia. Doug, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Hello, Doug.
When Lawan is in his set position, he moves his left hand, and I don't know how he gets away with that not being a penalty. Have you guys noticed that?
Yesterday, one time late, he did that, and I thought they were going to flag him.
Yeah.
I think it's his little trick to try to draw someone. Of course, he actually did have a false start.
He did. Yeah. I mean, he's got to be better at that. Doug, thanks for calling, man. Appreciate you. I mean, what did you think of Lawan overall yesterday? Now, obviously, he was in the injury tent at some point. Got back in there, says he's okay moving forward. But, you know, we talk about the third and one play to Okonkwo where you do the tight end reverse or the end around, whatever you want to call it. Looked like Lawan missed his block on that play, too. What did you think overall of his day yesterday?
It also just looked like the Giants had that play completely
just totally
just
snuffed
caved
out.
In. I don't. If that was a check at the line, man.
Not a good one.
I mean, I understand, as Vrabel said of the game, that was one of their short yardage plays, of course. And it's not like it's some crazy thing to have a tight end sweep. People do that. It's just that's if you have Derrick Henry and you're going to be predictable with Derrick Henry, go ahead and be predictable when it's third and one and you're like, go ahead in the fourth quarter and stop him from getting a yard. I dare you.
Right.
But they didn't. I thought Lawan, again, I thought protection was actually pretty decent yesterday against a team bringing – they brought five a lot. I'd like to see the blitz rate for the Giants today. I haven't seen any of that yet, but Wink Martindale does what he does, and he did what he does. And I thought the protection held up pretty well. But again, no Ojulari, no Thibodeau. Like, the protection better hold up well in this matchup because it's going to get way harder than this moving forward. So I just feel like it's an incomplete with the O-line. You had the penalties on Brewer. Petit Frere had one. Lawan had one. Was the run blocking a problem yesterday? I mean, a lot of times it's more hats than they can block, but you just expect Derrick Henry was one guy to do more than he did, I thought.
Well, and to that point, John Glennon just put this out there a few minutes ago, and he got this from Next Gen Stats. Derrick Henry's 82 rushing yards were 13 yards below his expected rushing total. So this coming from Next Gen Stats.
And we are not, and that, honestly, that matches up with what it looked like. We are not used to him being below expected rushing yards.
No.
He's usually way above. So, big deal Monday. Among so many things to find out about this team is 22 just a little bit reduced version of 22, or is week one lying to us about that?
Well, and there's the missed opportunity in the fact that you just lost to the Giants. And as you've pointed out, you look at that schedule, there's not a whole lot of teams on it that you feel great about just being gimme games for the Titans. So you let one of those get away from you. And then, I mean, look, the Colts looked bad yesterday. I watched a lot of that Colts game against Houston. You know, I joke about Davis Mills a lot. At one point, they're up 20-3 in that game. And then they blew it, and Matt Ryan and the Colts came back. They started just handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. You know, he made some big plays in the game, and then a big touchdown from Matt Ryan to Pittman in the game as well. But the Colts go down to Houston, and they tie. Rodrigo Blankenship missed a kick, and a pretty easy kick, and you know, Colts probably should have got out of there with a win in overtime. They didn't. They get a tie. And you have them right where you want them if you're the Titans, where you could go into week one and already get a lead on the Colts, albeit a small one with it being a tie, but a lead on the Colts, and you lose to the Giants. So now, first off, the AFC South, nobody's won a game yet, and two of them played each other, which is kind of amazing.
8-9. First one to 8-9 wins.
Very well could be. But it's just with the Colts looking the way that they looked yesterday, I know it's a 17-game season. I know it's week one. But that was an opportunity for the Titans that you may look back on at the end of the year and say, there's a difference right there. You're losing the Giants.
Yeah, it's and that's where the difference. You know, last year, overreaction, got crushed by the Cardinals on stuff. That was, again, that's a good team. That was, in fact, the Cardinals were one of the stories of the NFL. They faded late, but, like, the way they played –
yep.
Through the first, what, probably 10, 11 weeks of the season, they were like right around the top of the NFL, right? Your Packers
were the top.
They were the top. I mean, that's not going to happen with the Giants. Maybe the Giants are like a 6-7 win team this year. I could see that, maybe, in their division.
Maybe.
If they get those pass rushers back, Barkley healthy
now,
all year.
Dak's gone down, maybe.
Yeah, Dak's gone down. I mean, Barkley looks good, but go through the schedule. This one was an absolute check mark, got to have it.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Ray from Nashville. Ray, please turn your radio down, and we'll get to you right now.
I mean, that's not with the Giants.
I do like listening to myself on your radio, though, Ray.
We'll check back in with Ray.
Let's try again, Ray, after the break. Hang with us.
Got to turn the radio down on the program. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.